Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome to our second hour of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And this hour, we talk a little bit about evangelization. It's a tough topic for some folks. As a matter of fact, I have to admit to some anxiety myself about how do I evangelize? I know that I'm called to do it. I know it firsthand because I had to read the documents of the Second Vatican Council, and they were pretty clear in there that everybody is called to evangelize. And it's a simple deal. It's share the good news about Jesus Christ, but it's complicated in our world by the fact that people maybe already have their defenses up. Maybe they think they already heard the good news and it didn't sound that good to them. So how do we do it? How do we get out there and in a practical way evangelize? 888-318-7884 is our number. Well, maybe we can think about, as our guest Eric Sammons did in an article he wrote for Catholic Answers magazine in April, about circles of evangelization. What are the circles in my life that I belong to, and how might I make it easy for people to meet Jesus in those circles and encounter the transforming and joyful power of Jesus in their lives? We'll talk about that this hour. So if you've got questions about evangelizing and about this idea of circles of evangelization, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. As I said, Eric Sammons is our guest. He's got a master's degree in theology from Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's the author of 5 books, including The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, which is a Catholic Answers book, and we're super proud of it. His website, Swimming Upstream, can be found at ericsammons.com. Eric Sammons, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me so much, Cy.
Okay, so tell me about this idea you have of circles of evangelization. How does that work?
Well, it kind of addresses something you mentioned, how anxiety usually accompanies evangelization.
Yeah.
Most of us just really aren't that excited about doing it. And I think it's because we have some bad ideas of what evangelization is. Specifically, when we think evangelization, the figures might come up in our head as somebody like Billy Graham, Bishop Barron, Scott Hahn, somebody like that. And we're immediately like, I'm not like that. Yeah. Maybe I'm an introvert. I don't even like talking in front of crowds, so I can't be an evangelist. And so really what I realized in all my work in evangelization, talking to people and looking at the history of how the church has grown, how people have evangelized in the past, is a lot of it, in fact, I would say most evangelization is done simply in your circles of influence, i.e. the people you're around every day. Every single person, I mean, unless you're a hermit who's lived in a cave for the past 30 years, you encounter a lot of people every week. You encounter your family members, obviously. You encounter people at work, maybe people at the grocery store, your neighbors, what have you. And those are all people you can evangelize. And in fact, in a way, if you're living as a faithful Catholic, you are evangelizing them because you're already showing them how you're living the faith. And so all I'm saying is take a step maybe a little bit further and feel free and maybe be open to talking to them about the faith in those situations. And if you do that, you're an evangelist. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be a great public speaker, but you're an evangelist. That's really the base idea behind these circles of evangelization.
And I suppose, reading your article, The 5 Circles of Evangelization, you talked about being trained by Campus Crusade for Christ in evangelizing, and it kind of was like a system, but it almost, like you said, one line just stuck out at me. You sometimes felt sorry for the people you were evangelizing, like that they had to listen to you, or that you were subjecting them to this, or what?
I just knew I didn't want to be in their place. I mean, I wouldn't want, it's like, let's be honest, most of us don't feel very comfortable when a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon comes to our door.
Yeah.
Because normally they have a very scripted thing that they do. The Jehovah's Witnesses, particularly, I've noticed, are much more scripted than the Mormons are, but both are pretty scripted. And most of us, the first thing we want to do when we open the door is close it back again. And it's because we feel like there's something artificial about this conversation, about this relationship, that they're just kind of repeating something and they're hoping we repeat some answer back to them. And that's what I felt like when I did evangelization through Campus Crusade for Christ. This is before I became Catholic, when I was an evangelical Protestant. We had a script. It was called the Four Spiritual Laws. And basically, you ask certain questions. You hope for certain responses. You had ways that you respond. It's like cold calling. I mean, you know, we all get those marketing calls for people, you know, trying to sell us something. And they know if we say this, you say this. And I just felt like, who wants to go through this? Nobody wants to get called on the phone and be sold, you know, something. And nobody wants to have somebody knock on their door and be sold Jesus in that way. And so that kind of – I hated evangelization for a while because I thought that's what evangelization was. In fact, I just stopped doing it. And even though I had this passion to share Christ with others as a Protestant, I was like, well, if this is what it is, forget it. And it wasn't until actually I read a book by a Protestant at the time, something about lifestyle evangelization. I can't remember the name of it now. And it really clicked in my head that evangelization isn't this cold calling script thing to make the other person uncomfortable and make you uncomfortable. I mean, I would do this and I would almost be like, I get to the door, I would just say these things and I would like whip through them and I'd be like, please just say no so I can leave. And it, because I feel terrible doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of an introverted person with strangers, and so that made it even worse. And so when I realized that that evangelization is completely different from that, that it really is just conversations you have with people. We all have conversations with people. I mean, you might be sitting at your son's little league baseball practice and you're sitting next to another parent. Well, what are you talking about? You might be talking about work, you might be talking about your kids, might be talking about the weather, whatever. Well, there's opportunities there to talk about the faith and do it in such a way that isn't pushy, doesn't come across as like you're just trying to force it down. In fact, the perfect example, who's the perfect example in everything, is Jesus. And you see that when he is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. He takes the normal conversation they're having about the water. You know, he's at the well. The Samaritan woman comes up. And he segues that into a discussion of deeper, you know, the water that will give you eternal life. And so I think that's the type of things that we all can do in evangelization. It doesn't take some forced script. In fact, I would say a forced script almost never works. And so we should avoid those.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you'd like to talk about evangelization with our guest, Eric Sammons, the author of The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. I have to say, here's a thing that I experienced looking at your circles of evangelization, and you described five circles: yourself, and then your family, your parish, your community, and the world. It's not like, oh, it gets harder as you go out. It's actually like, oh, wait a second, like evangelizing myself and my family, that's a lot of work. Like I think even to do that, it's, you got to overcome a lot of fears and worries. And
absolutely. And I've actually given a lot of talks, and I've spoken in front of lots of people about evangelization, about the faith. And I find it way easier for me to talk in front of 1,000 people about the faith than it is to maybe talk to a relative at maybe a Thanksgiving dinner about the faith. That second one's way harder. But the truth is, in most cases, that's the person God has put in front of us. That uncle who has left the church and now is antagonistical to the faith, and that we see at Thanksgiving, that's the person who's been placed in front of us. And that's the person God wants us to evangelize more than anybody. And so you're absolutely right. And of course, evangelizing ourselves is in a lot of ways the hardest thing to do, because it's a matter of always striving for holiness, always trying to live the faith. But definitely family members can be the hardest. And once you, if you can, but I do think those are the people that we're first supposed to evangelize, is the people in our family, because those are the people God stuck us with, whether we like it or not. That's right. Who God gave us. And so that's who we have to reach out to first.
But Jesus says, you know, the prophet is not recognized in his own home and all that. And I think part of that, in cases other than Jesus, that has to do with the fact that they know us. They know that we're not that great a shakes ourselves. As a matter of fact, like, say I wanted to evangelize certain family members, I actually would feel guilty about when I was mean to them about something, or when I, you know, like I'm still carrying that around. Like, they don't want to hear the gospel from me. I was a jerk to them for years or something like that.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the importance of the sacrament of confession.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's just how, basically you're saying, you know, hey, you know, I'm a sinner. You know it more than anybody because you've seen me at my worst.
Oh,
but
yes.
That's why I love the sacrament of confession. That's why I know I need the sacrament of confession, because I know I've screwed up. I know I've hurt you in the past. I know I've done things that nobody else in the world knows about, that you know about, how bad things I shouldn't have done. But I've brought those to confession, and that's the beauty of the faith, is the great mercy of God, that we can go to confession. These things can be forgiven. So I think that can be an opportunity, because you're absolutely right. That is what happens, is they know we're schmoes, and they don't want any, you know, they're like, who are you? Don't be holier than thou. But I think if long we go to it with an attitude of, you're right, I am just a sinner, and I need confession, and that's what's so beautiful about it. Because most people have sins and things on their own soul that's dragging them down. They might not even realize it. And so if you tell them that these burdens have been lifted from your shoulders, then, you know, they might be attracted to the idea of, hey, maybe that can happen to me too. I don't have to carry around those sins I have in my past.
Eric Sammons is our guest. Our topic is Circles of Evangelization today. We welcome your questions. 888-318-7884. The number, 888-318-7884. And we will get to calls. I want to just remind you that Catholic Answers Magazine is one of the finest Catholic magazines you're going to find. And I know that in particular today because The Heresy of Low Expectations is a brilliant article that I just read in Catholic Answers. Have you seen this article, Eric? It's wonderful.
I have. I'm pretty familiar with the author, too.
Yeah, because Eric wrote it, of course. So I didn't want to take to miss the opportunity to praise Catholic Answers Magazine. This was yours was in that article I mentioned was in the January-February issue of this year. And the editor there, Tim Ryland, is just doing a magnificent job with that magazine. And I feel like, okay, there's good news there, too. I should share that good news. I should be a little bit of an evangelist for Catholic Answers Magazine. Right now, you can get a free digital subscription when you subscribe for 1 or 2 years. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for one of the best Catholic publications in the world, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll be right back with more with Eric Sammons right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We're talking with Eric Sammons. Eric, you're a convert to Christianity and a convert from evangelical Christianity to the Catholic faith. Is that right?
Right. I grew up I'm not a convert to Christianity. I grew up as a Christian. Yes. And I was baptized as a baby as a Methodist. And I was an evangelical Christian till about the age of 22 or 23, and then I converted to Catholicism.
And did you decide, I need the sacraments, I want the Eucharist? What grabbed you about the Catholic faith? I'm just curious.
It was a number of things. The first thing that got me down the path, though, was the pro-life stance of the Catholic Church.
Wow.
I was very involved with the pro-life movement, and I was about the only Protestant in the pro-life group. It was a bunch of Catholics, and I was... To be blunt, I was disgusted by the stance of the United Methodist Church at the time, which was pro-abortion, and that's what I was a member of. And I told myself, I just can't be a member of a church that is pro-abortion. And so I started looking – that made me start looking elsewhere. And it wasn't like I was saying, okay, the most pro-life church is the one I'm going to join. But I did say to myself, well, if a church isn't pro-life, I'm not going to be really interested because I don't think that's the church that's following Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that would be
and
a sign.
And that led me down the
path.
Right,
kind of
it's
off.
A sign.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, there is no more pro-life church than the Catholic Church. And it was very surprising to me in the end that it led me that direction. But that's what started it. And then, of course, I had friends who really talked to me, evangelized me very well on the beauty of the Catholic faith, the sacraments, the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary, things of that nature.
But that's interesting because there's these pro-life people. They're not consciously thinking, let's evangelize Eric and make sure that he, you know, receives his Catholic sacraments and all that. They're just living their faith as fully as they can by being at these pro-life meetings. And that does, in fact, evangelize you.
Absolutely. And it's really a combination because our pro-life group in college was about 12 people or so. And like I said, I was the only Protestant. And most of the Catholics in the group simply lived their faith. They lived their faith and they practiced it and they were very involved with the pro-life movement. And that had a huge impact on me to see. It's like, why are the Catholics the one they're so interested in doing things about this? And then it was one or two of my friends in the pro-life group, one was my college roommate actually, he really made sure he talked to me about the faith too. When I had questions, he tried to answer them. Mm-hmm. And also, this is a really funny point that kind of segues what you said in the last segment. One of the things he did was he would leave This Rock magazine, which is the old name for the Catholic Answers magazine. He'd leave it in our dorm room to make sure I would, you know, try to get me to pick up and read it.
Nice.
And it was actually reading one of the biggest moments in my conversion to Catholicism was when I read a letter to the editor in a This Rock magazine where it said, well, if you Catholics really believe the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, then you would worship the host, the bread, and you obviously don't do that. And I thought, yeah, of course they don't. They're going to have some answer that they don't really worship it. And the answer was, no, actually, we do worship it because it is Jesus. That blew my mind. As a Protestant, I couldn't even conceive of that. And I was like, but that's completely 100% consistent.
Yeah.
They really do believe it's Jesus Christ, and so therefore they adore the host like they should. And so I remember just that was like a letter to the editor in the old Catholic Answers magazine that was a major step that made me realize, okay, they're very consistent if nothing else.
Yeah, right. I appreciate that testimony, especially to This Rock magazine, which became Catholic Answers magazine and now continues as one of the finest Catholic publications in the world. I just like to say that because I really like the job Tim Ryland is doing over there. Shall we take some calls?
Sure.
Okay. You didn't seem very confident about that.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if you were asking the producer or something.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you realized you're the guest today.
And oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, I'm ready.
All right. John in Pennsylvania listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Your question for Eric Sammons.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of grew up Catholic, got out of it. Met my wife. She's an evangelical. Got me back into the church, and then I started studying Catholicism, and I really got into it, and I really liked it. So, and that was fine. I've been doing that for about 15 years. In the last year, I just had a really. I just started listening to you guys. Started reading more books. Started going to mass more, got in a Bible study with a bunch of Protestants, started. Anyway, to make a long story short, in the last year, my closeness with Jesus just like really, really, really kicked up a notch. I started praying the rosary almost every night and just asking for more holiness and I got it.
Hey, praise God for that. Good.
So that sounds great, right? That's all good, right? Now, here's the question. I pretty much think about this stuff like all the time now. But whenever I talk to somebody, it always sounds like I'm bragging, you know, because, you know, my answer to almost every question is, you know, pray more, read the Bible more, you know, contemplate, you know, it's like, and my question is, how do you do this stuff without people just thinking you're bragging, that you're going around telling them that you're smarter than they are? And you know what? I am smarter than they are because I listen to what Jesus tells me and they don't. So I am smarter than they are. You know, I mean,
you might not want to lead with that, John, but let's let Eric address that question. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, first of all, praise God that, you know, you're growing closer to Christ and growing holiness. That's a great thing. I think it's like, you know, you might be feeling like these people need a drink and you're giving them a fire hose and really you need to give them a water fountain. And I think that might be the key, is to remind yourself where they are is where you used to be. And think to yourself, how would you have wanted somebody to talk to you back then when you weren't so enthusiastic about the faith? So I think it's a good thing always, and it's never a bad thing to tell people, you know, pray and do things, you know, try to practice virtue, things of that nature. But I would say you do probably need to think about the idea of hold back a little bit and realize you don't want to come across as the pushy salesman, because I think that would turn people off. It doesn't mean you don't bring it up. In fact, you should bring up the faith, you know, when opportunities present themselves. But I think in always such a way that you remind them that you know what it's like. You were there too. I mean, look at St. Paul. He brought up a lot how he used to be a Pharisee, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he basically is trying to make the point, listen, I'm no better than you. The Jews that he's trying to convert to Christianity and the Gentiles he's trying to convert, he's like, I'm no better than you. I was persecuting the faith, in fact. I was worse than you probably. Yet I realized the grace of God is what has led me now to embrace him. And I think that's really lead with the fact that, you know, you go to confession, you need to, and that you, the reason you pray is because you have to, because you're so weak without prayer. I think if you kind of lead with your weakness, which is what St. Paul did, I think that will help the people not feel like you're being holier than now, you're bragging about it. But instead, you are bragging about Jesus Christ is what you're bragging about, but you're not bragging about yourself.
How's that strike you, John?
Good question. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
The gentleman that converted. After you really got into Catholicism, did you ever go back to like a Bible study with a bunch of non-Catholics?
I have been at times. I mean, my best friend is actually a Protestant, and we sometimes study the Bible together and things like that. And so I do get involved in that.
But don't you know so much more? Because you're like, you know all the stuff that the church teaches you, and they don't. I mean, it's almost, you know, I could get in a conversation with five ministers, and almost every
– well. Here's one way to think about it. I know a lot more than my six-year-old daughter, but I don't teach her the things I learned when I was getting a master's degree in theology. I recognize where she is. My six-year-old daughter, there's only so much she knows right now, and so I introduce it to her slowly and only as she can understand. And I'm not trying to say a Protestant minister is like a six-year-old or anything like that, but their knowledge of the faith is not quite as much as what the church has given us. And so I would approach it in the same way, recognize here's where they are, here's what they know, and let's work from there so they understand better and better. Because the truth is they do know a lot. In fact, they know maybe more than us in certain areas, like maybe certain parts of the Bible, something like that. It's just sometimes a deformed knowledge of that faith. And so that's why we want to just help them and recognize, okay, don't try to give them like everything at once, but instead try to help them to understand the basics of of Catholicism and then move your way up from there.
John.
Love your I love your station, and this is the best show on the station.
What?
after 6.
Okay.
I love it.
This is the best show after 6. All right. I appreciate that, John.
Between 6 and 8, it's the best show.
Yes, between 6 and 8, we are the powerhouse on that station. Yeah. Thanks, John, very much. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. The thing about the gospel and the thing about accepting the church's teaching is it does have a powerful transforming effect on us. And then we start to think we're something special, and that's part of, then that becomes kind of the walk, isn't it, of realizing, oh, wait, you know, I'm not such great shakes. I'm as the prayer says, I'm a miserable sinner. But I still have that joy of the gospel does have a transforming power. I can do things I couldn't do before. I can forgive what I couldn't forgive. I can endure what I couldn't endure before. Aren't I special? And then that's usually when we fall, and then
right.
We got to start over again.
When I first was really involved and converted, and I was super on fire for the faith, I would actually read stories of saints who would say that they're the worst sinners, and you know they're so bad. And I would honestly be like, I don't get that. I don't, you know, what's up with that? I'm not this terrible sinner. And basically what cured me of that was age, growing up, growing older, yeah. and realizing, boy, I really do need the grace of God. That's how I get through each day. But you're right. That's the joy of it, is that even though I've fallen many times, God has given me the grace to get back up. And I think if that's our – and that's going to be the proper attitude towards evangelization, is recognizing that we're simply sinners who have gotten back up. And so those who have not gotten back up yet,
just help them up.
Our duty is to – yeah, give them a hand and help them up.
Yeah, because I think I maybe like you, age does it gives you a little bit of insight. But there's that idea that I think the saint who says I'm the greatest sinner, I get what they're saying because look, I have the Eucharist and I have confession and then I get in traffic, and all of a sudden I'm mad at the guy next to me and he's mad at me, but he doesn't have the Eucharist and the confession and all that I know of. Anyways, I am a bigger sinner than him.
Right.
Like, because to the one to whom much is...
Yeah, we have the graces.
Right, right. And yet, here we are, still just you and me, Eric. I don't want to put you in my category. You seem like a good person, but we'll take a quick break.
You don't know me that well.
We'll be right back with more on Circles of Evangelization right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are faith and science compatible? Are they friends or foes? Catholic Answers Magazine is tackling that question and others with our very special Faith and Science issue, delving deep into what is arguably one of the most debated topics of our day. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take an in-depth look at the Catholic view of evolution with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. We'll review the most common misconceptions about how faith and science stand in opposition with Dr. Chris Kazor. And apologist Trent Horn will refute the skeptic's claim that something can come from nothing, plus so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on one of the most important issues of our day. Call 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
With the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae approaching, you can expect fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from 5.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Tomorrow, Father Bryce Sibley.
And Justin Ward continues our spotlight on sacred music. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, enjoying an hour of conversation with Eric Sammons, the author of the Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, and among many other books. And you can find out all about him at ericsammons.com. And Eric Bernadine in Canton, Ohio, is ready to talk to you. Are you ready to talk to her?
Oh, absolutely. Great.
All right. Bernadine, listening on 94.1 FM there in Canton, Ohio, you are on with Eric Sammons. Your question, please.
Oh, it's not really a question, and hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm actually a minister. I have been since 2015, a Catholic minister, and I also am an apologist and a board-certified catechesist.
Wow.
From St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Oh, good for you.
Oh,
aren't they great?
St.
Paul Street Evangelization. They're wonderful.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Every time I learn something, and whether I didn't pass the course or anything, I just wanted to learn more and more and more and more. It is so amazing. But they actually paid for me because I'm poor. And you know, people out there really, really got to sign up for this school. It is amazing.
And but, so that's just you just wanted to tell us about that? Or?
Well, see, that, and I also, since I have these particular documents, I'm not really sure why God gave them to me, but... You know, I feel like there's a need for me just kind of like to walk the streets and speak to somebody who doesn't look like they're, you know, happy.
Yeah, that sounds like a discernment thing, Eric, but I wonder what you make of that, because it sounds like a very common thing as well. Okay, Lord, you've equipped me. What do you want me to do? Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
First of all, I want to put in a plug in also for St. Paul Street Evangelization. Great organization. They're doing great work. And I do think that does happen to us. A lot of times for most people what happens is they feel a call for maybe a specific person in their life. Maybe a sibling who's left the church, or maybe a coworker, and they really feel like God is calling them to evangelize that person. And I think that usually is, if you're praying about it, that usually is a legitimate call. And I think at that point, really make sure you bring it to prayer. And I do think the Holy Spirit will lead you to the proper way of evangelizing that person. And so I think we should listen to that. I think it becomes something where all of a sudden you just kind of get like it continues in your thoughts. And you're like, I keep thinking about this person and the fact that they're away from the faith. I think that's the way the Holy Spirit's telling you, well, you need to go do something about it. And for some people, like Bernadine, you know, it's also possible that the Lord is calling you to do things like street evangelization. I don't think it's the call for most of us, but I do think there is a call for people to, be on the streets. I mean, I've done it before where you basically set up a table on a street corner and you put out Catholic materials and say, hey, come, you know, if you have a question about the faith, come ask it and we'll talk. And it's a great thing. And I know it's not for everybody, but it is a great thing, and I find most people are very scared to do it, but after they do it, they realize, wow, this was nowhere near as scary as I thought it was. In fact, it was great. It was a grace-filled moment.
That I've heard that so many times. I was so nervous. I was terrified. I didn't know what I – and then you know what it turns out to be? It turns out to be talking with people, and
right.
And it's not unpleasant at all. Bernadine, thanks very, very much. I'm going to try to get as many as I can in here. We go now to Alex in St. Martin's, Missouri, watching on Facebook. Thanks for watching on Facebook, Alex. Your question for Eric Sammons.
Hello, Eric. I have a question about evangelization. So, like – for me, it's like how to evangelize someone without being like a hypocrite, because, like, you know, I'm struggling with like my faith, and deep down, like, I want to help somebody out because they may not know about as much as I know. But in reality, it's like I kind of like, and like, it's hard because it's like deep down in yourself, like, you're fighting and you're struggling with your faith, and like, you can't really like, I mean, you don't know everything. Like, I don't know a lot of things, but, like, I know enough to where it's, like, I could probably help someone out at least. But it's just, like, how do you like, overcome that way? How do you overcome it to bring someone to the light through the darkness?
That's a great question, Alex. I think the one thing to remember is, first of all, St. Paul is considered the greatest evangelist of the Catholic faith. And he basically wrote something to the effect of, it's when I am weak that I am strong, because it is Christ who works with me. In fact, the way Christ works through us the best is when we are weak. When we put ourselves first, it's basically we're salesmen. When we put Christ first, then we're evangelists. And in fact, your call, I mean, your description of yourself tells me you seem to be the ideal evangelist, frankly, because you recognize your own weakness. You recognize that, you know, hey, sometimes I don't have it all figured out. I struggle with my faith at times. I don't always know the answers. But I do know that Christ loves me, and I do know that I want to serve him, however flawed I might be. And I think that's a very beautiful testament that people respond to, that people realize, okay, this guy's not coming across, you know, aggressively. He's not holier than thou. But instead, he's like me. I got problems too. He's got problems. But yet he knows the path to solutions, and I wouldn't mind hearing about that. And as far as like your knowledge goes, it's always good to have more knowledge about the faith. So always be studying the faith, reading Catholic Answers magazine and, you know, different things of that nature to know more about the faith. But that's not the primary purpose of evangelization. Evangelization isn't the same as apologetics. They're related to each other, but they're not the same. When you're evangelizing, you're more telling your story of how Jesus has impacted your life. And yes, certain things are going to come up, like the Eucharist, and then you might have to get into a discussion of transubstantiation or something like that. But that's after the fact. You can go look those things up at, you know, at Catholic.com or somewhere else. What really, though, you're starting with is the fact that You might not be able to explain transubstantiation, but you can say how much the Eucharist has meant in your life. You can say how much confession has meant in your life, even if you don't understand how the priest works through Jesus. I'm sorry, how Jesus works through the priest or anything like that. So I think that your weakness makes you a very credible and a very powerful evangelizer. So I just say, don't feel insecure about that. Instead, know that that's where your power comes from, is the fact that you recognize you're weak.
Alex?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Well, hang on, Alex. Hang on. If you'll hang on the line, I'd like to send you a book. It's called The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. It's by our guest, Eric Sammons. Can you just hang and give your address to Marie, and we'll send that to you?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great talking with you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Again, our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking evangelization. We got the idea from a wonderful article that Eric wrote for Catholic Answers called Circles of Evangelization. And starting with the middle of the circle is you, and working out through family and community and parish and – or maybe I said that backwards. But well, whatever, however it is in your town. Maybe your parish is bigger than your community. I don't know. All the way out to evangelizing the whole world. I suggest you can just get the article and read it by going to Catholic.com and type in Circles of Evangelization or Eric Sammons' name. But that's what we are discussing. And if you'd like to discuss it, 888-318-7884 is the number. Let's go to Julie now in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Julie, your question for Eric Sammons.
Yes, hi. I am wondering if I should just drop it with this elderly aunt of mine. I'm a cradle Catholic. I've never wanted to be anything other than Catholic, even though at some point I didn't fall away from the faith. I just had questions because I wasn't that well catechized, even though I went to Catholic school. And it was this aunt who years ago at my grandmother's funeral had stated, well, I'm not coming to the rosary because I don't believe in praying to the Virgin Mary. Well, you know, she was born and raised a Catholic, too. It's a big Irish Catholic family in San Antonio. And it was that comment that I remember hearing that when I did find my faith again, I started studying Mary and the New Eve and, you know, why we believe what we believe and about her and how the liturgy and the tradition that came before the Bible explain so much more than just the Bible alone. But she has fallen into, well, she's 86, so she, I think, listened to a Baptist preacher on the radio years ago, and now she feels that, I mean, I just had a conversation with her yesterday, and she says, well, I told her, you know, Catholics, we have the Eucharist. Don't you want the Eucharist? She's like, well, I believe Jesus is everywhere. He can be in other religions too. He works through other religions. Her argument about the veil, the temple veil being rent, you know, like that's an implication. Like, you know, we don't need a priesthood anymore. We don't need the Catholic confession. And I just feel like if she's 86 and she is that closed-minded, really, against the religion of her, you know, her family, her forefathers, should I just drop it? She's 86, and I guess I'm thinking, well, maybe if she has to accept the truths of Catholicism, she might worry about, you know, the rest of her family who she has not raised Catholic.
Okay. All right, Julie. Eric?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I would never say – you would never drop it in the sense that you just kind of assign that person, well, there's no hope that that person's going to convert. I think I think there is a time – in fact, I wrote an article for Catholic Answers about a month or so ago about the idea of shaking the dust off your feet, that there are times that we don't do explicit evangelization with somebody because of the fact that they've kind of turned their back so much to the faith. But I think but even in those cases, we're still very much praying for them and exemplifying the Catholic faith in our own lives. And I think really it sounds like for this person, there probably is no human way that she will be turned back to the Catholic faith. But the truth is, it's not the human that does it. It's the Holy Spirit. And so I would just say that probably the most important thing to do is probably take – if you're spending, you know, 80% of your time talking to her about the faith and 20% praying for her, maybe flip that and turn it into 80% praying for her and 20% talking to her about it. Because really, I think at this point, at her age, and like it sounds like she's pretty turned against Catholic faith, the main task, I think, is now for the Holy Spirit to give it to him and say, okay, I have no idea what to do here. Nothing I'm saying seems to help. So it's up to you now. And I think that's probably the most important thing at this point, is just really redouble your efforts for prayer more than worrying about necessarily what you have to say to the person, to her.
Does that make sense to you, Julie?
Yeah, I guess it does. I tried so hard to get her to go to Mass with me yesterday, and even though she has all these wonderful memories, she says once a Catholic, always a Catholic. So there's that love of Catholicism, but yeah. That I guess maybe that and the Holy Spirit is, you know, it's not going to be me correcting her incorrect interpretations of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
No, praying and fasting.
I do thank her for making me learn more about Mary, because I never would have, you know, researched the new Eve.
Right.
And,
Do you read novels, Julie?
Do I read novels?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Try Bride's Head Revisited. It's a good one.
Yeah, okay.
It's about a conversion part of it's about an elderly conversion. But Eric said it. Jesus gave us the tools of prayer and fasting, and the Holy Spirit is very powerful. So you have a job. You have an assignment, Julie. Thanks. Well, I don't know if you wanted one, but thanks for the call. Hey, Eric's book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, is published by Catholic Answers Press. And that means it's one of the things that's on sale right now. I don't know if Eric knew this. It might be a shock to him to find out that we're selling his book at a discount this month. But almost all of our books, Eric, DVDs, audio tracks, digital products, that is on sale. 10 to 25%, some cases even more than that. You don't need a promo code. You don't need anything. You just go to shop.catholic.com and find the item that you're looking for, and it's going to be 10 to 25 or more% off. Hundreds of great resources. Shop.catholic.com. We'll be right back with more Eric Sammons on evangelization right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Eric Sammons is our guest this hour. We're talking about the circles of evangelization and how you can move out into the various circles of your life to evangelize others. 888-318-7884 is the number. Just to be clear, when we say evangelize, we mean share the good news. Share the news of God's love in Jesus Christ given to us and shared each day on the altars of the Catholic Church. If you have questions about how to share that good news, 888-318-7884 is the number. Anonymous, watching on YouTube, is up next. Anonymous, you have a question for Eric Sammons?
Yeah, I have a situation every Saturday after confession. On my way home, there's a Baptist evangelist on one corner and his helpers on the three other corners.
Oh, come on now. Okay, all right. So you've gone to confession, you're trying to get home, and there's no way you're going to hit a Baptist evangelist one way or the other.
A mob of Baptists.
Yeah, and okay. They keep asking me, are you saved?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going, I was saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. Then he said, what do you mean? if you accept the Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He's like, I don't want to answer this right now.
Well, you could tell him you just were forgiven of your sins by Jesus Christ, your Savior, just before that. But I think also, your answer of if you're saved, that's a perfectly good answer. And I'm sure at Catholic.com there's like where the Bible references are for each one of them, because when St. Paul talks about salvation, he often talks about it in different senses. And sometimes he says, working out your salvation in fear and trembling, which means we haven't been saved yet. Other times he talks about being saved like it's a past tense event, because we have been saved in the sense that we're no longer – now we are living a grace-filled life. Now we're under the sacraments. But the fact is all of us can fall, so one day we could be we could lose our salvation. We're not going to be ultimately saved until we die, if we die in a state of grace, of course. So your answer is very good. I would just say if you don't want to talk to him, obviously just walk by him. You're not under an obligation to talk to him. But I'd also say what you could do is – I think there might even be a pamphlet from Catholic Answers. I'm thinking back when I read – Catholic Answers pamphlets in 1995 or something, the pastel colored ones, but about salvation, what does it mean to be saved? And there's great answers there that you can talk to them about. And I'm sure it's online on Catholic.com at this point. But just the idea that, salvation is more than the simplistic notion they give it. But when they ask you, Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, say, amen. And I meet with him. I receive him every single Sunday at Mass. And I just was forgiven of my sins by him directly. And confession, just, a few minutes ago. I think what it does is it kind of throws them, because they have a very wrong idea of Catholicism. They think we're all about rituals and rules and, people with – guys with funny hats and things like that. But when we talk about Jesus and use the name of Jesus like they do, but we talk about him in a Catholic context, I think that, first of all, it's speaking their language, and so they can understand it better. But I think it throws them off a little bit, because they're like, oh, wait a minute, this person talks about Jesus like I do. He seems to really love Jesus. And I think that's a great witness to them. So if you talk about your relationship with Jesus like they do, but your relationship is through the sacraments, which is a more powerful relationship than just kind of winging it, I think that can be a great means of evangelization.
Okay, Anonymous?
Yeah, I'll try.
You can do it.
I'm always so afraid that I'm going to get into an argument.
Oh, well, yeah, if that's the case, yeah, you don't want to get into an argument. That's true. It's not going to help anybody to get into an argument. Would you like a – maybe I could send you a copy of Jimmy Akin's book, The Drama of Salvation, which goes into all of this about salvation. Would that be helpful to you?
Maybe.
All right. Well, maybe I'll send it. hang on the line. Marie will get your address if you want to give it to us, and I'll send you Jimmy's The Drama of Salvation, which a lot of what Jimmy covers in there is the different views about how different various Christians hold about how we are saved, and what does the church teach, what does the Bible and the tradition of the church teach about how we actually are saved. Anonymous, thanks very much for that call. Let's go to Justice in San Antonio, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Justice, your question for Eric Sammons.
Hi. I have a pretty basic question. It comes from a long series of other questions, but how do I evangelize the papacy?
You want to evangelize the Pope?
Well, the papacy. So how do I evangelize? How do I let people know, or how do I understand the good news of the papacy? I have a lot of questions about the Catholic Church. I really love the Catholic Church in more ways than not. And I feel like I have basic answers to all my questions. But what I think the ultimate issue is for me, and maybe for others, is it's the papacy. Because if the Pope is really the vicar of Christ, then I don't have to worry too much about all my little questions.
Right. I think that it's a good question. That's a key point for Catholicism that distinguishes us from every single other religion, Christian denomination, Orthodoxy even, is our view on the papacy, that we believe that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, that he is the successor of St. Peter. And so it's a very important question, and it will always come up when you're evangelizing somebody to Catholicism, because it's one of our unique features. And I think really what it is, that you think of it as a gift, that Christ has given us a gift of the papacy so that we don't have to wander around in the desert not knowing what is truth, what did he really teach, what is he really, what does he really want us to do, things of that nature. Instead, he has given us the gift of the papacy through the Pope so that we can know the truth. I mean, the Holy Spirit is promised that we will always be, that the church will always be led to the truth, will always be teaching the truth. Well, how does it do that? Through the papacy, through the infallibility of the Pope. And we see, and so that sounds great, and people say, oh, that sounds all great, but put it in practice, and you say, well, okay, I will. Let's look at the last 2,000 years. And the fact is it's the Catholic Church that has maintained its teachings, the teachings of Christ, from the time of Christ. You can direct line it all the way from him, from Christ himself to us. And you compare that to, for example, Protestantism. You know, we have Martin Luther in 1517 who breaks away, and within his own lifetime, people had broken away from him and had disagreed with him. He was frustrated. He was upset before he even died at the fact that what he had done had led to other people forming their own churches. And so now we have the situation where we have tens of thousands of denominations all teaching something different. And within a denomination, I know this from my own experience, each church will teach something differently perhaps from the other ones within the denomination. Why? Because they don't have the Pope as that guide to make sure they stay on the path that Jesus has led out to us. So I'd say look at it as a gift, you know, and think of it as a gift that has kept on giving for 2,000 years and has been a beautiful, one of the most beautiful things of the church. In fact, when I converted, that was one of the main things that brought me into the faith was the papacy, the fact that I don't have to worry about, am I right about this in my Bible interpretation? I read like this, but my buddy in Bible study reads like this. What if I'm wrong? I just am like, okay, now I just look at what the church teaches and has given us through the papacy and through the church, the hierarchy and whatnot. And I know, okay, now I can be comforted because I know that what I believe, because it's consistent with the church, is what Christ wants me to believe.
Justice?
Yeah, see, that's how I kind of understand it now. I understand the awesomeness of the Catholic Church and the papacy according to the history, the intellect, the wisdom, but there's something preventing me from that. From
sharing it?
There's a hurdle I got to get over because, you know, I really love Mary and I understand the idea of praying to saints and those things I don't quite get, but I want to get it. And I know that the papacy and having that faith and that God set that up would be a way for me to rest. Like, I understand it like historically and stuff, but I feel like obviously prayer will help, but you know, it sounds like it's more of a intellectual understanding, obviously there's an element of prayer, like a spiritual understanding.
Right. And I would say definitely pray. In fact, my suggestion is to pray for the intercession of Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II. Ask him specifically to help you with this. And let me tell you something. When I converted to Catholicism, I had only an intellectual understanding of Mary. It was kind of similar to your belief on the papacy. It was very intellectual. I did not embrace, though, the role of Mary truly in my life. Even when I converted, it was very intellectual. It took me a few years after I became Catholic until I truly embraced that, okay, Mary is my mother, and I can pray to her, and she's going to intercede for me, and she has a great role in the history of salvation. And that just took time, and it took a lot of prayer. And so that would be my suggestion, is just be patient with it. If it's intellectual only, that's okay. And over time, it might become more part of your spiritual life. And like I said, you know, pray for the intercession of St. Pope John Paul II, because I think he'll help you out to kind of make it more part of your life.
I pray to him, or do I pray that God will ask him to pray for me?
When I say pray to him, what we mean by that is we're asking for his prayers. We're asking for his intercession. So what we're asking is we're asking Pope John Paul II to pray to God for you. But because he's been a pope and a recent pope in your lifetime, I'm assuming unless you're less than 10 years old, then he knows, you know, he's kind of a great person to pray for that. He's a great person to have you praying for you because he understands the role of the Pope. He understands how important it is. He lived it. And so I think ask him to pray for you to God that you would understand it more than just intellectually.
Thank you. I will.
Oh, Justice, great. Thanks very much for that call. We appreciate it, Justice. The book that we've been discussing a little bit, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, Eric Salmon's book, is available at shop.catholic.com, where everything's on sale right now. Just go to shop.catholic.com. Eric, I really enjoyed the hour with you. Thanks so much for your insights.
Thanks so much for having me, Sly. I really enjoy it. I love talking about evangelization. I love evangelizing about evangelization.
Yeah, an evangelist of evangelization. We really appreciate
right.
it. EricSalmons.com is where people can get to know more about you, find out about your other books, all that kind of stuff. Correct?
Yep, that's right.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. We've got a guy in here that knows a few things about the Catholic faith for both hours, and he's feeling better, so watch out. It's going to be a powerhouse day with Tim Staples both hours tomorrow. Open forum. Open forum means any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, we'll try to get you an answer. Thanks, Nick, in the sound booth. Thanks, Marie, on the phones. Thanks, guy I'm not supposed to say his name on the video. Can I say your name? Oh, no, I can't? Okay. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.